What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where we interview some unstoppable entrepreneurs who are dominating figures in their businesses. Sahil here, back again with one of the awesome, insanely awesome guests today. We have a SEO beast on our show today, someone who has generated over $100 million in client results with SEO specifically and had high-profile clients. His journey from startup to multi-million dollar company is an epic education in SEO mastery, and his expertise in harnessing the true potential of search engines specifically, especially Google, is pure gold. What's up, everyone? This is Sahil here, and welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show, where I'm going to be interviewing some crazy entrepreneurs out there who started from scratch with no experience, resources, and connections, and then later on became unstoppable and dominating figures in their respective businesses. We're going to dive deep into the mindset of these super successful entrepreneurs to find out how they did it and how you can model it too. It's time to pick their brains and uncover all the strategies and tactics which these entrepreneurs use to scale their businesses from nowhere to multiple six, seven, and eight figures. Welcome to the Sahil Sehgal Show. Without any further ado, let's welcome Damon Burton to our show today. Hey, Damon, can you hear me, man?
Yeah, what's up, Sahil? Hey, it's good to be on here, and I appreciate the opportunity. It's cool watching the little intro and seeing a bunch of friends that you've had on before me, so I appreciate the opportunity to chat.
Absolutely, man. Same. It's a pleasure and honor to have you today.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. So your journey, man, from SEO, I was reading out all that, going into the rabbit hole. It's quite unique, and starting with car enthusiast websites to eventually becoming this leading authority in the field. Could you share a pivotal moment or realization that led you to focus on SEO as a career path?
Yeah, I mean, there was one specific moment where I pivoted to SEO, but like you had briefly mentioned on, you know, the car background, and I think it's good to give a little more context. So when I grew up, lower middle class, and so I didn't have access to computers. And so I would take advantage of just really basic computers at school. I'd learn word processing, all the things that we take advantage for now that didn't really exist back then. And so when I learned just simple things like typing, then I got access to word processing. And when I learned word processing, you know, believe it or not, ClickFunnels used to not exist, and WordPress used to not exist, and Dreamweaver didn't exist. And you used to have to learn those things by hand. And so I got the opportunity to do some of the very first HTML classes when I was back in school. And I took that experience, and you had mentioned a car enthusiast website. So I started a car website called Elite Rides, and I still own it. There's nothing there now. It's all archived. But what happened was I started to build a community of, it started with hundreds of users. And so then I said, well, how do I make this design better? And that's where I started to get in to design. And then it grew into thousands of members. And I said, well, how do I market this? And that's when I started to get into marketing. And then where I fully went into SEO was I had a day job. I worked at home for a company in Las Vegas. They got shut down. And so I was out of a job just overnight. And so I had to either figure out if they were going to fix the business, or if I should go find a new job, or if I should bet on kind of the side hustle I started building out. And so I decided to see what I could do with my, they were design clients. And so I bet on design and started doing that on the side. And then where it comes full circle into SEO is one of my design clients said, what do you know about Google? And I said, I know enough. I think I can probably help you, but not enough that I want to charge you. But I also don't want to work for free. So, right, how do you balance free and, you know, not charging them, but also not working for free? And so what I came up with is I said, if I hit these goals, how about you pay me retroactively? And then we start a retainer. And so we hit these goals and started a retainer. And I offered that same retainer to a couple other people and had success. And that's when I said, you know what, I want to see if SEO is my thing.
Wow, that's great, man. Fascinating. So is it like you bought some courses to learn that SEO, or was it like all on the go? You found a client who wanted to do it and he asked this question and then you just dive into that. So how was it?
I just figured it out on my own. So in the beginning, SEO was largely different than it is today, but a lot of the core principles are the same. And so the main thing you focus on SEO is really just three categories. So the first category is how good or bad is your website built? And it's basic things like, does it load quickly? Is it mobile friendly? The second category is content. So you can only show up on Google for what Google can read. So do you have a really good content strategy? And then the last category is credibility. You know, that's why reviews are important. Do other people talk about your brand? Do they link to your website? Mm-hmm. So I just started to figure out those on my own. And for a long time, actually still to this day, I actually don't follow a lot of other people in SEO. And I think a lot of us in marketing, we get too obsessed with what other people are saying and doing.
Right.
And that may or may not work. But we're spending time that we could be spent building our own processes and our own perfect model.
Right. I heard you talking about this concept of not following what other people are saying and all that stuff. So what's the main reason behind it? Is it like everyone is copying each other, or what is that?
Yeah, I mean, at least in SEO, and it's in a lot of other spaces too, but the problem that happens in SEO is that it's kind of a slower process, you know, compared to like paid ads. And so you're stacking things, you're building on top of each other. And so it takes time. And because it takes time, you know, there's this long runway where you have this opportunity to question yourself or go look what other people are doing. And so people are always pivoting when they shouldn't be pivoting. They should be staying consistent. And so there's lots of rumors and gossip and ideas, and people are always trying to game the algorithm and figure out how to cut corners, when what works the best is just picking a path and staying consistent at it. Because if you just focus on those three, you know, in the SEO space, if you focus on those three things of structure, content, credibility, then, you know, there's a massive algorithm update that came out last week, potentially one of the biggest ones that's ever come out for Google. And everyone else is panicking, and I don't worry at all, because I, you know, if you don't get caught up in like how to be manipulative and you just stick to helping the customers and playing by the rules, then you don't have to worry about when these algorithms come out. And usually when they come out, our clients are up.
Right. And it doesn't distract you even in the same place, then you know that what you're doing. So in that context, what is the realistic expectations, and like, how do you see evolution of someone who is mastering this skill of SEO? How do you define that? Like reaching at maybe six figure level, then seven figure level and all, when somebody is new and trying to master this, what are your realistic expectations of that?
Well, for me, I was slow. And so I would probably give advice different than the way I did it. You know, there's some advantages to going slow. The main advantage is why I went slow is because I didn't want to go crazy. So like, you know, like we're always, especially in digital marketing, because we see everybody that makes $1 million in one day and we're like, I want to do that. And you know, you skip over the 10 years that were before that, that they learned all these skills and processes. So I was always very slow because I didn't want to go crazy. I didn't want to be too stressed. And, you know, I certainly have my moments of stress, but I didn't want to be constantly overwhelmed with like trying to go faster and faster and things start breaking. And so the first thing that I would say is be realistic about your expectations, right? You're trying to figure out, if you're smart about it, you're trying to figure out a sustainable model, not a fast model. Yeah. Because you can get to $1 million and it can cost you $999,000 to get there. And then you can lose it the next day, or you can get to $1 million over a couple of years. And then every year after that, you always have $1 million. And so being realistic is probably the first thing. Now, this is probably the second thing I would add. The one thing I would have done differently is I would have documented processes sooner. And so we all hear about the importance of documenting processes, but until you actually do it and you do it well, and right. You see the compounding benefit of doing it well, and you're able to maintain quality control as you grow and delegate, I would have done that faster.
Right. And the follow-up question, how would you counter that? Like, let's say we say that the processes are keep on changing in that way. Let's say you documented something in 2010, 2012, and now it might be obviously, would you say it's a complete different ballgame now? Or do you say, no, that's the foundations, you have to still build on it? What would you say about it?
A little bit of both, but surprisingly, for the most part, the foundation, at least for me, is still accurate. I've had the agency for 17 years. I documented processes probably about 10 years ago. And before that, I had processes, but they weren't organized, you know, somewhere in my head and somewhere on a spreadsheet and somewhere on a Word doc. And in those last 10 years, we've added new things, but we've changed or removed very little, because when I documented them, you have a great question. I knew things would evolve, and so I didn't want to document them quickly and poorly. So I documented them slowly and accurately. And I'm not saying it's fun. It was probably one of the suckiest things I've ever done. And it was 2 hours every other day for a year. I mean, it took a long time because there's so many moving parts. Because for me, it's like, okay, is the website built on this platform or is it built on this other platform? And is it commerce or is it non-commerce? Is it a product or is it a service? Do they have content or are they starting with no content? And so there's lots of moving parts. And so when I documented the processes, I did it two ways, right? And so most entrepreneurs can do the same thing. So the first thing you have to do is document the things that don't change, look like they won't change, right? They might change down the road, but there's always a certain way you do a certain thing. And so I documented the very black and white things. Then I went back and I said, okay, what are the things that might be different? So for me, there's always a certain parts of a website that we touch, but the way that we touch it might be different if it's on one platform versus another. We might have to go to a different screen. And so I will never know which platform the next client is going to be on because I don't know who they are yet. Right. But I do always know we're always going to touch that thing. And so even though I can't tell my team where to go, I can tell them how to find out where to go. So what you can do as a business owner is you can document the thought process. And so that way you still ensure quality control, even for the things that you might not be available to answer.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was amazing, man. And so over the last years now, you have seen the evolution of this SEO strategies and that. So what are the particular shifts that you see from traditional SEO to, I don't know if it's that even a term, traditional SEO to modern SEO? Yeah.
The biggest thing that's changed is probably content. So there's always been those three pillars: structure, content, and credibility. Right. Probably the biggest changes have been on the latter two, the credibility and content. So I'll talk about credibility because it's a little bit quicker. We'll probably go deeper on content. Credibility is usually backlinks and reviews. So do other people mention your website or link to your website? And each of those links kind of counts as a vote in the search engine popularity contest. Now that's changed from quantity to quality. So years ago, you used to be able to just get tons of links from any website that was a garbage website in a low quality content, low quality industry. And then Google started punishing that. So that's gone way more to quality. Now, so is content. But, you know, there's more to talk about on content because it's also AI has come in. And a lot of people are jumping heavy into AI, which, like, you don't have to explain to anybody why AI is interesting or it's attractive. But what I think a lot of people overlook is, are you also thinking about quality control, or are you just using it because it's fast and easy? And when we mentioned there's this major algorithm that came out last week, I've been telling people for months, you know, you can use AI, but you need to do two things. One is you need to quality control it. You can't just copy and paste it, because if you copy and paste it, it's mostly duplicate content, because that's what AI is doing, is it's going and pulling the content from somewhere that already exists and trying to rearrange it. But the other thing is I think people are overlooking the opportunity to tell a human story and to connect and tell a unique story. And so now a lot of us are just becoming lazier because AI is really easy. And so we're skipping over the opportunity to go into detail about stories and your products. So the quality has changed, and the ability for people to tell unique stories or actually provide value instead of just copying and pasting something from AI that's been done 1,000 times already.
Right. And looking into this aspect, the AI and ChatGPT, all that stuff. So how do you see the future of SEO? Like, what trends or development do you see that's going to shaping the industry in the upcoming years, or how can businesses be maybe prepare for that? What's your prediction?
It's been the opposite of what I think most people think. You know, there's a lot of people that say SEO is going to die, but SEO dies about every 6 weeks. So that's nothing new. But with AI, you know, most people are like, hey, SEO is going to be obsolete after AI because AI can just do everything. But I'm starting to see the opposite, because the problem is AI is so easy that people just push a button and they think the answer is accurate or effective. And so people that are using critical thinking and changing the output of AI can maximize the output, but there's a lot more lazy people than there are critical thinkers. And the other thing that I've noticed with AI, with SEO, is AI hasn't reduced SEO. I think AI has increased the importance of SEO because we need the people that know how to properly modify the content. And then even if AI gets smarter and starts to help people understand the fundamentals of SEO and the structure, it's currently not helping do a lot of the structure updates, and it'll get better at that. But even then, we need critical thinking in the structure updates. Just because AI says to make a certain change, does it really need to go on that website versus a different website? So it might be applicable on one and not another. But maybe the last comment is the more I've seen AI roll out, the more I've seen SEO, traditionally SEO optimized websites perform better. And the reason why is if you think about ChatGPT, it's another search engine.
Right.
Because it needs to, what did we talk about, right? We talked about three core pillars: structure, content, credibility. So ChatGPT needs to go access websites quickly. So structure, page speed, that has unique value-added content, second pillar content, that it trusts because it wants to provide accurate results in the ChatGPT results. So the third pillar, credibility, right? So I've just seen the sites that stick to traditional SEO rank higher and higher and higher or show up in AI results.
It's just still following the same framework that you are teaching or you are doing for the clients. And that means,
yeah,
that's amazing. And that's interesting to know, actually. So I want to come to the part of client acquisition. You have worked with big sharks out there, big companies like INC 5000 companies, NBA teams, and all. So two-part question, it's coming in my mind. First is like, how did you land these bigger clients like Imar and all these? And then I'll ask a second question after that.
Yeah. So great question. So every example you gave, Imar, Utah Jazz retail team, the Shark Tank businesses, Russell Brunson's a client. Yeah. They all came from relationships. They all came from transparency and trust. And so I don't run any advertisements. I don't have an email list. I don't have any form of lead acquisition at all right now. And so we do a couple million a year. I have a team of 50. And it continues to grow for only two reasons. One is results and performance. And so you get referrals. Okay. And then two is the last two or three years, I've been more active on Facebook and LinkedIn. And I just share the stories. I share the stories of what we do and how we win. And I do that different than most other people. Most other people gate their content or they send it to a lead magnet, right? And so it's like, I just optimized this website. And if you want to know how to do it, show me in the comments, right? And then you private message everybody and you send them to a landing page. Like, I don't do any of that. So instead what I do is I state the problem that I solved and then I just give the answer right there in the post. And so then what happens is then I become trusted,
right?
Because I'm not asking for anything. I'm not taking anything. And then when you're consistent at that, then people start to go, oh, Damon always does SEO, just always. That's always what he's talking about. And so then whatever you offer, if people consistently see your results and your consistent content, then eventually they forget everybody else. And so now I get tagged in posts nearly daily by people that I've never met, but they follow and see that I only talk about SEO. Now, I'll give you one example. Another example too is like, so the concept of that is giving value.
Right.
And so you can give value in other ways. And so I'll give you the example of how I started working with the professional sports teams and how I got working with Imar. So you're the first person that's brought up Imar. And so for people that might not be familiar with Imar, they're probably the world's largest commercial real estate company. They're massive. And so that came from a relationship. And there was a client that I helped who was introduced from another. Okay, so now that I'm saying this out loud, I'm remembering more and more and more steps. And so this is actually a fun story. Do you got a minute for story?
Oh, man, I'm up for it. I'm excited. I saw a couple of your posts, like how did you land that $39,000 client or something it was. And then you were talking about how did it link 5 years ago, you served that client and it came back, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just stuff like that. So this was a fun one. Okay, so one of my first, I think it was my third SEO client. My wife and I were at a mall. We were shopping, and it was around Christmas time. So you know, around Christmas time, they put up extra kiosks and booths for different products, and they're just temporary. And so we went to go, we went shopping for kids, and there was this really cute like kitchen apron that had a pattern that my wife liked because it was stylish and it was like sexy and it wasn't just a boring apron. And we were in a hurry because we were Christmas shopping, and so we're like, we'll come back next week. And so we went back next week, and Christmas was over, and that was gone. And so I'm thinking I can find them online, and so I start searching all these things like cute women's aprons, sexy aprons, and I couldn't find them. And then I eventually gave up, and like a month later, they were on the news, and so they did a paid advertisement on the news, and I said, that's the company. And so I went to their website, bought the product, and then in the comments field, I told them the story. I said, I went back to the mall, tried to buy your product. You were gone. I looked for you online. I couldn't find you. If you ever need help, let me know. And so they emailed me back and said, yeah, if you want to meet up, we'd love to talk with you. And I didn't know they were local. And so I drove about an hour to go visit them. They were a startup company, and I just gave them advice. So I volunteered to give them advice. I drove an hour and I did it all for free. And then a couple weeks later, they emailed me back and they said, you know what? I think we want to proceed. And so they became an SEO client and they blew up. They went from a few dozen thousand of online sales to millions. And within a couple of years, they sold for millions of dollars. That guy went on to build and sell five businesses in 10 years. And guess who he called for every single one of those businesses?
You.
So we started doing the SEO for that guy. Now, how this gets to Amar is he started sending referrals. So we got tons of business from just that one guy. Then in the beginning of the agency, I remember there was probably 2 or 3 years where he sent 25% of every client I had for years. He just started sending tons. Well, he sent one of those referrals was a gentleman that ran a we'll call it a digital marketing service. But it was kind of like an email platform. And he built and sold. So we blew that company up and he got acquired. He got acquired by Groupon. So Groupon bought his product. Well, so then he gets millions of dollars. So then he goes on and starts doing angel investing. And so he starts investing in different companies. And I can't remember his relationship with Amar, but through how he invests in other things, he ended up having a relationship with Amar. Well, since we made him millions of dollars, who do you think he trusts to bring in a relationship when Amar starts asking about SEO? So that's how we got Amar. And then I'll give you one other example. I'll try to be quicker on this one. Same thing happened with how we started working with the retail division of the NBA team, the Utah Jazz. There was a company that reached out and they said, can you come in and give us some advice? I went in, gave them some SEO advice. But not only did I say the advantages of SEO, I told them the disadvantages, right? It takes time, costs money. And so when I left, before I even got home, they sent me a message and said, you know, what we appreciate is you being honest. You didn't tell us, you didn't just sell us, you told us the other side too. So that was a software company. They sign up as a client. Before they even finish signing, the guy says, I want you to meet my neighbor. He works for a law firm. And so I meet with this guy, do the same thing, give him free advice, establish trust. He wants to sign. And then as he signs, he says, by the way, I'm the exiting vice president of the retail sales at the Utah Jazz. Could I schedule a meeting with you with the Utah Jazz? So for me helping one person, we got three deals in less than 1 week.
Wow, that is crazy. And just to step back a little, I'm curious to know. So you said you leave a comment on that. Was it a comment on their ad that you left at that time?
No, in the cart. So I bought the product and in the comment field, I said, so I bought the apron and then it says, do you have any, notes or messages or comments? And so I said, so in the comments, I told them how I wanted to buy their product at the mall, but their kiosk was gone. I couldn't find them on the news, or I couldn't find them online. Then I saw them on the news. So I told them the pain point, right? I'm a customer. I couldn't find you. I can help with that.
Oh man, I really love the. I saw in your post, I think you mentioned about what are the things that doesn't qualify to work with us, something like that. You laid down all the pointers for that. That was like, man, nailed down. That was like being so honest and setting up right expectations. So
yeah, we have a whole page in our contract that says reasons not to hire us, yeah. And it's all the things that marketers we don't like to deal with, but we tolerate. And so in the contract, it says you can't call me all the time. I don't give any of my clients my cell phone number. Mm. You can't, even if you want to try and call me, our phone's cut off at 5. You know, you need to schedule appointments. You hired a professional, so don't tell us what to do. Mm. And we're actually going to change our website. You know, later this year, we're probably going to start doing some marketing and grow a little more quickly, but we're going to change the website to that. It's basically going to be the same as the contract. And so usually we think about on websites, we're like, here's all the reasons you should hire us.
Right.
We're going to make it. Here's all the reasons not to hire us.
Wow, man. And that, what do you think that brought you? Like, obviously that cuts off the volume game. You don't get tire kickers or people who are just like buggers, and you got the right type of clients. Is there any more advantages that you see that might have, like, you never thought about that because of the contract thing you got?
The other reason it establishes trust, because the people that your customers that are more advanced know that you did that for a reason, and they actually appreciate mm-hmm. it. They go, oh, I want the guy that tells me what works. Like, I don't want to have to tell the agency that I'm hiring how to work. And, oh, they don't want me wasting their time. That's because their time's important. Well, good. It should be important.
So it sets you up more authority level, of course. They are like, yeah. Oh, this guy knows his stuff. That's why it's doing.
I get a lot of people that, I think it's scary for newer entrepreneurs. But when you do it, it's really valuable. When I send those contracts, I get more compliments than anything. Yeah. And I've had probably half a dozen clients say, can I copy this and put it in our contracts?
I thought the same. I'm going to copy for my coaching.
Yeah.
That was good, actually. You attract the right type of people and repel the wrong type of people that you don't want to work with.
Yep.
That's amazing. Okay, I'm coming to the second part of the question. I was going to ask you for that. So all these big clients, giants you have worked with, what are some of the unique challenges that you have faced maybe when optimizing their website for such high-profile clients? And do you see, like, most of the time it's just, so they must be already doing SEO. Some people might not be, people like Russell Brunson. So he already have a something running. Where do you find most challenges in, like, website building itself, the structure of it, or is it like how the way they are doing SEO?
Yeah. So they're two different, you know, Russell is an example, and then like a $1 billion company is an example. So some of the things that we try to support clients like that is, you know, they're obviously already really successful in other ways. Yeah. And a lot of times the mentality of SEO is the opposite of what they're used to. And so, like, if you think about Russell Brunson, he's really good at attention and he's really good at ads, and there's always something new. And so the challenge we have to present is go, okay, well, how do we balance where on the website they can keep doing that because it's obviously working. Mm. But then on the other side, how do we go, we need to slow down, because the types of buyers are different people. So on ads, usually you interrupt somebody's Facebook feed, you get their attention, you need to get them to convert as quickly as possible. With SEO, it's the opposite. Somebody has a problem, they have a pain point they need to solve, and so they're going to Google to find the answer. Mm-hmm. And so they're looking for information. And so you have to educate them, and that's why content is so important. So the landing pages are different. You know, when you run an ad, it's usually short form and it's high call to action. With SEO, it's the opposite. It's low, it's long form. And I don't want to say low call to action, but it's more authoritative and less salesy. You're establishing trust. And so, like, with marketers, that's the trick that we have to balance is, you know, there's other decisions outside of SEO. So we can't say that SEO has to win all of the challenges. But we also have to be realistic. If we can't do some of the things, then we can't perform. And so how do we find that balance? Now, with the $1 billion companies, it's different. The $1 billion companies, the struggle is they're so big that they move so slowly, or the point of contact that we have doesn't care. Like, if you think about a $1 billion company that has a 1,000 or more employees, and your point of contact is you know, somebody in their 20s who's a sales manager, they don't care about the company. And they also don't know half of the answers. And so when we come with the questions where it's like, you know, here's, we either need access to this thing, or here's the approval we need to proceed. Well, they're not usually the quickest because they don't care. All they care about is their day job. And so they got other things to deal with. And so we're in their way. We're just bugging them. And so if we get them to acknowledge it, well, most of the time they don't have the answer. So then they got to send it to somebody else. And that person might have to send it to somebody else. And so there's this long delay in getting progress. And so we've been really selective about clients over the years. And that's part of why that we updated the contract, where it's, you know, other things we put in there is you have 7 days to approve something. And if you don't, it is automatically approved, because we can't let other people delay our progress because they're paying us for results. And so even though it's not our fault we're delayed, they're still going to hold us accountable for the results. I don't know if that answers it, but
no, it does. It does. It makes sense. And so much. Thank you so much for sharing that. So to wrap it up, what's something you would say from your decades of experience you already have that everyone should start and at the same time stop doing when it comes to SEO?
The latest thing that everybody's doing is, a lot of people have always done is quantity over quality. And so that's always been important, to slow down and focus on quality. But especially now, like we touched on with AI, a lot of people are just using the results of the prompts that they put in AI and not really thinking about, is it value added? Does it actually solve the problem? Or are we just posting content because we can, right? Like, what's the actual intention behind that? And for a long time, I was talking about, eventually Google is going to catch up and see these patterns because they've already played this game. Way back in 2012, Google had an algorithm about low quality content. Yeah. And AI is just a faster, smarter version of the tools that were back in 2012. But it's the same game. And so I think Google just was caught off guard by how much content came out, how quickly after ChatGPT. But I've been saying, you know, they're not going to work on it. So that means they are working on it. And how long it takes to update and tackle that low quality content, I don't know. But just last week, they announced that major algorithm where as many as 40% of the search results are now going to be impacted. And all the details about what they updated in the algorithm were all about AI. And it specifically said mass produced content of low quality for the purpose of manipulating search results. It very clearly, it didn't say the words AI, yeah, but it was very clear that they were going after AI. So quality over quantity.
That would be interesting to see how it will evolve. That's amazing. Yeah. Where can find listeners like about you, more about you, or what do you do? What's the best platform?
DamonBurton.com. Really simple. On there, you got a couple options. You can follow me on social media. If you want to learn more about SEO, you can download a free copy of my book. I said, that doesn't sell you anything. It just gives you the book.
That's amazing, man. I just downloaded it a couple of minutes ago. So I'm going to give it a read. So thank you so much, Damon, for coming on and giving your precious time. It's been, you've been gracious with the time. Thanks again, man.
Yeah, thanks, Sahil. Good chat.
You're welcome, man. Thank you. For people who are watching or listening us on live, we'll be coming up with another episode very soon. Till then, stay tuned. Take care. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And if you have enjoyed this episode, make sure to visit dreamclientsecrets.com to get more information about how you can grow and scale your online business. And if you love this show, don't forget to leave me a 5-star review, and I will see you in the next episode.